Well, when I was a teenager, I thought that all religion was brainwashing. I thought that the purpose of a church service was for people to judge each other, especially me. And I thought that scripture was spectacularly dull. Until I encountered this passage from the first letter of John. God is love. It says so right there in scripture. God loves the world so much. If we do not know love, we do not know God. It was like these words leapt out at the page of the page at me, and for the first time, my imagination was seized by scripture. As a bitter, angry, destructive young teenager, this whole love thing was quite a startling revelation, especially what this means for us, that to grow in the way of Christ is to grow in the way of love. For me to grow in Christ was to grow my heart's capacity for love. As a bitter, angry, destructive young teenager, I had a lot of work to do because my heart was in a tight little box, uninterested in being free. I had a lot of work just to learn to love, in ordinary circumstances, to go to a movie with my family and it not be a disaster. I had to learn to trust people, to make friends, and not to be so guarded all the time with everybody. And slowly, under the guidance of the scripture passage, my heart began to open up a little bit. But the thing is, friends, that God doesn't love us in just the ordinary ways. God doesn't love us within safe, comfortable, normal limits. No. God loves the world so much that he sent his only son to come down here and love us for all of our foibles. I can't imagine that that was easy. To come down here and love us when we did not really see him or get what he was talking about. I mean, how could we? Yet through all the frustrations that Jesus must have felt, Jesus persevered in loving people, though we didn't understand, loving his disciples and to keep trying with them, even when they didn't get it, even when he knew that they would betray and abandon him, he persevered in loving them. Even when the people were going to turn on him in fear and anger, when they were going to make him the scapegoat in order to appease the Romans, he would, like that passage that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah, he would go like a lamb to the slaughter, persevering in loving people beyond all those safe boundaries. Beyond all the hope of reward, beyond all the hope of being understood. Even when he prayed that God would take the cup away from him, that he not be tortured and crucified, and even when God was silent, he walked that terrible road, head up and eyes forward, out of love, knowing that it was the greatest gift that he could give us, even while we were betraying him and torturing him and killing him and mocking him. That is how God loves, beyond safety, beyond reason. God perseveres in love despite millennia of provocation on our side. God does not give up. And so when we say, God is love, and if you do not know love, you do not know God. That is a whole lifetime curriculum of learning to love beyond, beyond, beyond. Another step, another step, another step. And it is not only us God loves. God loves human beings that we don't love, that we don't know, that we don't care about. And God loves creation. And God aspires for all of us, humans and creation alike, to one day be renewed. A world in which no one triumphs over one another, but through one another, we all triumph together with creation. And God asks for our hearts to long for that world too. Those who do not know love do not know God. When Jesus says, come follow me, this is what he meant: to follow him on a journey of learning to love more broadly, of learning to love more deeply. Not the Hallmark version of love, but the deep, brave, vulnerable, risky sort of love by which we become part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. That is the way of love that Jesus calls us to follow him on. That journey out of the box into greater and greater and greater beauty and goodness and glory and freedom in love. Friends, this is the work that God has been doing in our midst these past few years. Calling and coaxing and shaping us to be a people who live together in a profoundly good way, always with a little bit more goodness that we have yet to aspire to, always a little bit more that we could experiment with on the edges to grow our hearts outward. We live together. We have come to live together in this profoundly good way. We support each other through prayer, through acts of loving service, through generous giving. We encourage and affirm each other's gifts. And like last Sunday, we can make mistakes together and laugh together and learn. Have you noticed that we can take creative risks and make beautiful things and not be afraid of being judged? We welcome strangers, and strangers become family. We as a community are open to being transformed by our faith. It has been so, so good to witness this and participate in it with you over these past several years, our growth in love. And I have played my role, and so has each one of you. Together, we have grown in love. And to those of you who think that this has been my doing, and perhaps those of you who are anxious that it will leave when I leave, let me tell you a story. Did you know that when I came to St. George's, I had been saying for several years, I don't have gifts for teaching. I don't have gifts for teaching. Like, I like ideas, I like people, but I don't have gifts for teaching. It was a line that I repeated. Lead a retreat? Ah, thank you very much. But you know what? No thanks. I don't have gifts for teaching. But here at St. George's, you've helped me to learn that it really isn't true. All I really needed was an environment where I could take risks without feeling afraid. I could learn from my mistakes and not feel judged. I could try things out and, you know, what, maybe they'd fail. And then we would laugh and we would learn. And we would carry on. And you know what, St. George's, you provided that space for me. You brought all the love, and all I did was respond to it. And I will always remember this last Lenten study that we have shared together and all the joy I felt in being together with you. No fear, no anxiety, no judgment, emotionally safe. And delighted and having so much fun together, even though that was a hard Lenten study this year. You allowed me to see that I do have gifts for teaching and that I love it. It's a way of being together with people that I love. You helped me to see that. What else has that love made space for in our midst? Just imagine the impact that your love has had in people's lives. God has created this space in our midst. Those who abide in love abide in God. God loves us first, and therefore we can love. God created this space in our midst, and we have responded together. We have all benefited. We have all been transformed by the love that God has called us to grow in together. I will never forget that. And I'm saying this out loud today because I don't want you to forget it either. It has been a feeling, but you know what? It has also been our intentional practice of being loving together. You have chosen this way of being. And I exhort you, my brothers and sisters, to persevere in that choice for the time to come. To persevere in loving together, in love together through the challenges that come. Think of all the challenges that we have faced together in love. Now you have a choice going forward with every challenge that you face as a community to do it together in love or not, to be wise together in love or not, to be disciplined together in choosing love or not. The wardens and the clergy team will face many challenges on your behalf in the months to come. Challenges in which there may be many good options and the difficulty is choosing among them because you can't have all of them. There may also be challenges in which there aren't good options and they are faced with having to make a choice and deciding what sacrifices will be made. They might be big challenges, they might be small challenges. But either way, I want you to know that they are shouldering this burden with dedication, creativity, resilience, determination, a sense of deep responsibility. They are shouldering it on your behalf with a deep and an undivided drive to do what is best for this community. And there will be times when they ask for your input in order to help provide information for them to make the best decisions for what is possible for St. George's. We all know that it's not going to be easy all the time. And we all know there won't always be consensus. That's what happens when people have to make decisions. There are often good reasons to make different decisions. In the end, they will bear the responsibility to weigh those different options based on the information they have and to make the best decision possible for St. George's. It won't always be easy. There won't always be consensus. You may not always agree with the choices that they make. But brothers and sisters, with your perseverance, there can always be love, even in the face of things that are hard, even in the face of competing opinions about what should be done. There can always be love. I have loved being part of this parish and experiencing this transformation together with you. It is what I will always remember most about you all, the love that we have shared, the grace and the laughter and the forgiveness when things go wrong. That has allowed us to take so many creative risks together and do all sorts of things in a whole new way, things that no one, not even me, expected at the beginning of all of this. You have made that possible, each one of you, by bringing your hearts to the work and by adding up that pile of love at the heart of this parish. May God sustain your hearts in love for one another for many years to come. God, let your hearts thrive, and God, open your hearts to more love still, through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.